Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 354, and we shall continue with Ezekiel here and the new moon story, chronology of the history of the new moons. And so we read in chapter 46, in verse 3, more about the instructions about the new moon. Likewise, the people of the land, and mind you, through the entirety of this eight chapters of Ezekiel, God is the one taking Ezekiel and explaining to him everything here. So God is speaking here, the one that was known 2,000 years ago as Jesus Christ, the God of Israel. And so these are all instructions directly from him. And in that sense, if you want to use the modern terminology, we're talking about Christian teachings, Christian doctrines, you know, Christian principles, values, whatever it may be. And commandments, you know, people don't like to use the biblical terminology that God gave it. They invent their own, and so they use it to this very day. In either case, it is of Christ. And so in verse 3 we read, this is what he said, likewise the people of the land shall worship at the entrance to this gateway before the Eternal on the Sabbaths and the new moons. You see, God makes it very plain. That's the way he wanted it. That's the way it's going to be. And that's the way it was in the past. And in terms of that gate, this is the eastern gate, actually. And we read in verse 1, thus says the Lord God, Yehovah Elohim, this is the one that became Jesus Christ, the gateway of the inner court that faces toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days. But on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and on the day of the new moon it shall be opened. Because that's when, he said, Israel is going to come and worship, looking through that gate, and bring, you know, the offerings that they're supposed to. And so, you see that this continues all the time. And, you know, as you study the rest of the chapter, you read that, about the sacrifices that are going to be given on the Sabbath, in verse 6, and on the day of the new moon, it shall be a young bull without blemish, 6 lambs, that is 6 lambs, and a ram that shall be without blemish. Well, the same thing that you read earlier in Numbers 28. The law of Moses has not changed. As God said, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I gave unto all of Israel, because if you don't, I'm going to totally destroy you. And how many of us are playing games with the law of God? And they're going to face that verdict unless they repent before it's too late. You see? God is not mocked. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the Eternal, as Paul said. A lot of people do it. They couldn't care less about the law of God. They just want to have sweet, nice experiences. And that's unfortunate. In the days of old, unfortunately, also, a lot of people did not honor the law of God. Did not honor God. And so, in the prophet Hosea, we read some words to that effect of what God is going to do to this kind of people. What he did, actually. And in essence, what he's going to do to the same kind of people who have the same attitude. In verse 10 we read, in chapter 2 of Hosea, now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, speaking about ancient Israel, and the same thing is going to do to their descendants in this generation. He said, I will uncover her lewdness, you know, her lawlessness, her disobedience to my laws and commandments. And yet a lot of people claim to be people of God, you know, Christians. The love of God. He says, I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall deliver her from my hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, her appointed feasts. You see this general 4 categories. And other feast days, in this case, earlier it was mentioned many times as days of gladness, and then the new moons, and then the Sabbath, and then the appointed feasts. You see? The annual Sabbaths. And that's speaking about ancient Israel. And for people, you know, who still keep it today in the Jewish community, God feels exactly the same. You know, if they're not obedient to the law of God, you see, of what value all these things are. And the children of Israel, obviously, they do not keep the new moons. But there are, you know, many of the people of God that keep the Sabbath and holidays, you see, and whatever feast of gladness, you know, they have, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, things like that. will they give thanks to God, and other things like that, days of deliverance. But God says, you know, the people that basically do not obey His law, all this becomes vain. But on the other hand, you see, He mentions that the new moon is always there, and should be there, and should be kept with the right attitude, you see, with obedience and fear of God. And so this in essence, the point we're trying to bring here. The new moon is always there in that package. It's not a separate one, and it's not something that you just can discard and say, well, who needs it? And then you go to the book of Amos, the prophet Amos, where God delivers this message that gives us basically an understanding of what they did and what they did not do on the new moon. And so we read in the prophet here, Amos chapter 8, where God basically talks about people who do not respect God, who do not obey the voice of God, and they do their own thing, and He's not interested in their kind of worship. And so we read in verse 5, this is what the people say, saying, when will the new moon be passed, that we may sell grain? Why? Because as long as the new moon is on, people could not go and do business. So they're so anxious for the day to be gone, so they can go back to business and make money. In other words, the new moon was a day where people didn't go to work. You see, that's what he mentioned earlier, that the new moon, just like the Sabbath, was a day where people could not go and do business. And so we read this statement about both in the same vein of thought. When will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat? You see, just go and get the wheat ready and trade it, and then sell it, make money. So you can see that the new moon and the Sabbath were linked there as a day of stoppage, you know, where you stop doing your own thing and you appear before God and you bring Him an offering and sacrifice, and you go, you know, with the family and have the family sacrifice, and you serve God that way. And, you know, there's a service and there are psalms that were written, and then later on, obviously, when they were written, people would sing them. Before that, there were no psalms, so there were other things. But once David and others composed these psalms, then they could sing them in the temple, and then after that, people did it in their own home, and to this very day in the synagogue, they sing the very psalms that they sang, the Levites, in the temple, you see, that were composed especially for the new moon. And as I mentioned earlier, they called the Hallel. And this is what they were doing here, waiting for the new moon to be gone, the day where basically they did not do any work. You see, they could not go sell grain, they could not do business, they could not go to their field, and just like the Sabbath. Even though you don't see it in Leviticus 23, and that's in essence what people say. Well, you know, I don't see it in Leviticus 23, it's not a part of the plan of God, forget about it, I don't know what it is, I'm not interested in it. Instead of sitting down and studying the Word of God from beginning until the end to find out what is the will of God concerning this matter or any other matter, and then obeying it. And God gave us a lot of instructions. You know, as we just read some of them, it's not even everything. There's a lot more. You know, you just have to read the book for yourself. People shouldn't be doing it for you. They're not spoon-feeding you. And people are not doing it. So are they going to worship God in truth and in spirit, as Christ said? You know, you Samaritans, you Babylonians, you know, that's what they were. They came from Babylon, they had a mixture of truth and error there. He says, you people, you do not know what you worship. You're all mixed up. We do know, for salvation is of the Jews. You see, what is he talking about? The people that obey the law of God, that walk in it, that study day and night, you see, that have that righteousness that Christ commanded his disciples to exceed. He said, well, you know, as we read the Word of God, we know how to worship God. You don't. You're all mixed up. And then he said, you know, God is spirit, and he must be worshipped in truth and in spirit. What truth? The people concoct in their own brain? No. Thy Word is truth. That's the only truth he's talking about, the Word of God. And that's what we're reading. That's what we're teaching. And that's hopefully what we're learning. And assuming that people are going to study it really seriously, not just, you know, listen to something interesting and forget all about it, then didn't do you any good. Just like James says, you know, you look into the mirror of the law, you behold your face, and you say, oh, interesting, then you do nothing about it, and you forget what you saw. You see? And hopefully people go beyond that and take it seriously. And that's what Christ was saying. You know, I'm just going to knock on the door. I'm not going to barge in. I'm not going to, you know, tear down the door, whatever it may be. I'm not going to bang on it. I'm just going to knock. If you're willing, I'll come in. I'm going to have a talk. I'm going to have a meal together, a spiritual meal. That's how he does through his word. That's what he means by that. You see? And that's the reason why he has servants in the past 2,000 years doing that, bringing his word, not their own, his word to the attention of his people. And the people who are willing to listen, well, they're going to have a relationship with him. A lot of people, unfortunately, are not interested in this kind of a relationship through the law of God. They want to do it through experiences and emotions and feelings and things like that. You know, and they feel good about it, and that's all they have left. You know how emotions are. Once they're gone, they're gone. That's it, nothing left. But when you obey the law of God, you grow in grace and knowledge and understanding, and Christ is being fully formed in you, and you have a building that would last for eternity. And you're built on the rock. Emotions are not the rock. You see, they're part of the worship of God, yes, but apart from the law of God, they're meaningless. You know, just like the wind, they come and go. And that's the reason why God tells them. As we read here again, verse 5, and it's worth repeating because a lot of people don't see this link between the Sabbath and the new moon. They don't understand what's really behind it. You see, all these laws that God gives us, they're the ones that make us holy and pure and righteous and develop His character in us. And obviously, an awful lot of people, and has been like that from the beginning of time, that's not the way they choose to go. In order to become like God, be close to God, know His mind, know His will, you see, the devil has always been taking people in different routes to make them believe that they are close to God. And obviously, they don't think that, yes, there is God, but there is also another God, the God of this world. And so a lot of people think they worship God and they don't realize the God they worship is not the true God. And so it makes it very plain. That's the kind of people that he ended up with, the people of Israel. He revealed himself to them, gave them his laws, taught them how to be holy, how to be close to him, so he can dwell in them, in their midst, be very close to them. And instead of that, they abhorred his law, they departed from him, they did evil things, they were immoral, they were unsociable, their social behavior was full of iniquities. And yet, they thought that they are the people of God. They're not different to this very day. Unfortunately, the majority of them are that way. And only the very few who are honest and faithful and really willing to serve God in truth and in spirit. And so he said, these people are saying, and we're going to repeat that for sake of emphasis, when will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain? They're so anxious, you know, just like little kids. They're on a journey, and every 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you know, they ask their parents, are we there yet? And that's the attitude of these people. Here's the Sabbath, and here's the new moon. Days of celebration, days of gladness, days of coming before God and worshiping Him and honoring and praising Him, days of spiritual fellowship, fellowship with the family, you see? And they're so anxious. Why? Because their other God is waiting for them. The God of money. And so they said, when will the new moon be passed? That was their attitude of the whole nation. That you may sell grain. And the Sabbath. That you may trade wheat. So whether it was a new moon or a Sabbath, that was their attitude. Whether it was an annual Sabbath, that was their attitude. They just wanted to make money. That's in essence what you see in this country. The whole economy of this nation is geared around covetousness and greed, making more money. That's all the thing about. That's the reason why people work 7 days a week. And they're proud of it. You see? That's the kind of people of Israel became. They want to do their own thing. A lot of people feel even that way when they go to services. They're anxious for it to be over so they can go and do their own thing. And so that's what they're saying here. But look at the attitude also of these people, beside the fact that they did not want to be with God on the new moon or on the Sabbath. You see, their behavior is also a testimony to what they have become. And so he's saying, making the ephah small and the shekel large. See, that's the reason why they want to go out there. You know, forget about the new moon, forget about the Sabbath, let's just go and make money. and not just making money, but in deceitful manner, making the ephah small and the shekel large. In other words, those are the weights that they use to, when they sell you know, their wheat or grain or whatever it may be, fruits, vegetables. They were cheating, falsifying the scales by deceit. That's the way they were doing it. A lot of people do it to this very day. If you're not careful, you know, they'll cheat you whenever they can. And of course, in the old days, it was much easier to do it because, you know, they had those weights, but you never knew whether it was a genuine one. Today, you know, you can see it. You actually weigh it yourself. But oftentimes, you know, when you go through the line, you know, the weigh everything that you didn't weigh before that, and based on that, they charge you. And oftentimes, you would never know how much they really charged you. You know, they can still deceitfully do it. And so this is what he's saying here. That's the kind of people they were, falsifying the scales by deceit, that you may buy the poor for silver. You know, for a few pennies, cheating. Poor people, not rich people. And the needy for a pair of sandals. Even sell the bad wheat. Cheating in every possible way. Well, no wonder why they do not want to be before God on the Sabbath or the new moon. You see, they don't feel comfortable with Him. And therefore, we read in verse 7, the attitude of God toward this kind of people. The Eternal has sworn by the pride of Jacob. You see? Well, what's the pride of Jacob? That's himself. And you know, it's not talking about pride in the wrong sense. In other words, the glory of Jacob. Surely I will never forget any of their works. Is he forgetting our works when they are evil today? When we despise his Sabbath, our holidays, our new moon? Or is he writing down everything? And by our own words and deeds, when the time comes for judgment, we're going to be judged. And that's what he's saying here. I'm not going to forget any of those things. You know, you don't want to be with me. You despise my law. You say, oh, well, no, we don't need another occasion to be before God on the new moon. And we'd rather do our own thing. You see, that's in essence what he's saying. And obviously, today the society is so different. It's not the society that used to be once upon a time, an agrarian society. And that was not a problem for people. Now we are trapped. We are in different circumstances. You see? And but at least in this kind of circumstances, just like any other laws of God, like, you know, building the booth on the Feast of Tabernacles, if you can't, you can't. You see? Because there are no trees. And the least that people can do, even though God did not say, we don't see any instruction anywhere in the Bible, thou shalt not work on the new moon, at least to remember this day for what it means. Have a special meal, have a special service, or whatever it may be. People used to have a Bible study on the new moons because they realize it's there, you cannot ignore it. And in essence, in some organization that many of us used to be a part of, or at least some, they decided to have a Bible study, a monthly Bible study, to commemorate the new moon. And after that, it turned out into a Friday night Bible study. You know, at least there was an attempt there to do something about it. But there was never an understanding of what it is all about. You see? And God says, I'm going to remember all those things. I'll never forget your works. Be it, you know, works of righteousness or works of iniquity. So, you know, we should think about this kind of things. They are very important to remember. And so, I think we gave enough information here about the new moon. There is plenty more in the Bible. If you just read through the whole thing, you're going to come across many ideas and concepts and more bits and pieces of information about the new moon and how God regarded it and how it became a part of the culture of Israel. But as we continue with the history of Israel, well, they went into captivity, then Judah went into captivity, and then God brought them back for a purpose. And there, down the road, 5 centuries later, he came in the flesh to his people, you see, and he began that new phase of now opening the door not only for his people, but also for sprinklings among the Gentiles to be called. Now, did he come with a new religion? That's what the Gentile church said. That's why they are a Gentile church. They're not the commonwealth of Israel. You see? And God has no Gentile church. Because the only people He works with, the only people He said that He is going to work with, the people that He chosen. He said, you only have I chosen. And that's not something just in the past. And it's only through this family that He's going to work through and with all nations of the earth, only through this family. You see, He's not going to have a separate thing to them. Even when He sent them the Apostle Paul, he's an Israelite, you see, and he came and brought them the law of God. Not another religion, you see. He followed in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, or else he wouldn't be His apostle. And he said very plainly, the law is spiritual and holy. The wages of sin is death, you see. What is sin? Transgression of the law. What law? The law of God. The law of Moses. You see, the law that Jesus Christ came to magnify. And so when he went to all the non-Israelites, he taught all of them the law of God. He taught all of them what is righteousness, what is holiness, what is purity. All these things that he taught them. And if people do not understand that, you see, they obviously don't understand what Paul's ministry was all about. It wasn't there to go and establish a new religion and call it a Gentile church. You see, it was to bring some sprinklings among the Gentiles to be grafted into the household of Israel, into the commonwealth of Israel, to be obedient to the law of Israel, to be followers of the churches of Judea. You see, that was his commission. And so he taught all of them the law of God, and yet outsiders will come that used to be like them, other Gentiles, and make fun of them. And about their now so-called, in today's terms, you would say the Jewishness, you know, you became Jews, and they despise that. And they say, you know, started making fun of them about this and that and the other thing. And so when we come to this point that a lot of people in their ignorance, and many of them are Israelites and do not even know it, they think that this is the very verse that did away with the Sabbath and the new moons and holidays and all kind of things, when it is just the opposite. You see? As the Apostle Paul told them, and now we're talking about the Colossians in this case, but same thing could have been for any other given congregation that he dealt with, that were not of the Jewish community, you see. All of them were taught the same thing, every single one of them. All of them were taught what the Master said, the teacher of Jesus Christ, that is the teacher of Paul, Jesus Christ, what he said to his own people, and he said it to everybody. Don't think that I came to do away, you know, with the law of the prophets, to annul it, to put an end to it and begin a new religion. I did not come to do it. Why would he make a statement like that? Because that's what people thought that he was coming to do, just do away with the religion of Israel. And he knew it not only from the point of view of his own people, but all generations to come. You see? So Paul was not about to go over there and tell them, oh yeah, for Christ came to do away with the law, now we've got a new law. We don't need that. Forget about everything that, you know, the Jews keep, and we're going to have a new religion. You see, obviously he didn't come to do it, or else he would never be the apostle of Jesus Christ. And yet he constantly said that this is what he was. He began this letter to the Colossians just like with everybody else, that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he made it very plain that this Jesus Christ in Corinthians, you know, 1 Corinthians, Chapter 10, this very Jesus Christ is the God of Israel. So what law did the God of Israel teach Israel? And what law do you think the Apostle Paul is going to teach now also the non-Israelites? Obviously the same thing. Yeah, so, that's, you know, a lot of people don't think about all these matters because they're not really honest with the Scriptures. You can't say that they're just plain ignorant. You know, they're a lot of people read the entirety of the New Testament, at least, if they don't like to read the Old Testament. They know what it's there. But, you know, they conveniently forget. Take it out of their mind, you know, forget it. You know, just don't bother about this one, or give it their own interpretation. So he made it very plain. He told the Colossians that, you know, there used to be Gentiles, and, you know, that was disobedient to the law of God, but now God had circumcised them, as we read in verse 11. In chapter 2, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. You see? How? By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And when Christ circumcises his people, how does he do it? He removes sin and iniquity from them and teaches them the law of righteousness. And there is only one law that Jesus Christ taught from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden, and to His people Israel and Mount Sinai and through the prophets. And when He came in person, you see, and when He taught His apostles, it's all the same. And so now that they were circumcised, now they are buried with Him in baptism. So the old man that was sinful, rebellious against the law of God, is gone. And a lot of people want to continue to rebel against the law of God. Why? As Paul said to the Romans, because the carnal mind that is in us is an enemy of God. It is not subject to the law of God, to the Torah of God. That's what he was saying. Neither indeed can be. So obviously, that kind of a carnal mind, it's not of the Jewish mold. The Jewish mind, you know, doesn't say, well, the Sabbath is done away with, or the new moon, or the holidays, or the clean and unclean, and so forth, and all the other laws of God. You see? But the carnal mind that he's talking about here in specific is a Gentile carnal mind. You see? Inspired by the devil to think, well, you know, it's all Jewish, you don't need that. That was the intent behind it. You see? And since people by nature hate the law of God, they fell for it. But he told them, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And if you are alive now, you're not going to be disobedient to the law of God. Otherwise, you'll be dead in your sins again. And so he says, you being dead in your trespasses. Trespasses against what? The Gentiles didn't have the law. They didn't have the Torah. You see? So what were they trespassing? There's only one thing that God considers to be a trespass against His law. The law that He gave from the beginning of time. And then He codified in Mount Sinai for all of Israel. And into that community of Israel, He was grafting now the Gentiles. And so that's what He's saying here. You were trespassing these laws. Well, you didn't know any better. And the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Why would He forgive you? So He can go ahead and continue to walk in your trespasses? Obviously not. You're not going to be alive while you're dead in your sins, transgressing the law of God. And so He said, this is what He had done for you, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. In other words, the penalty that says, you know, the verdict that says, you know, death for you, you see, punishment, sufferings, pestilence, and all kind of things that God brings on people who trespass His law. You see, all that was taken away. That's what was taken away. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And so what do the evildoers say? The carnal-minded people, led by the devil and his demons, who despise the law of God to begin with and rebel, they were the first one to rebel against Him, against His law. What they're teaching people is, God actually nailed the law to the cross. Not the verdict that pronounced you guilty, but the law. That's how they deceive people to believe. And they still do to this very day. And so it says here, having disarmed principalities and powers, speaking about demonic powers, you know, that had that influence on you, leading you to rebellion against the law of God, rebellion against His Sabbath and His holy days, and His moral law and His social law and every given law that He gave, rebellion against the new moon, is the rebellion against anything that is written in the Torah, of which Christ said, don't think that I came to do away with it. You see, of which Christ said, unless your righteousness, you cannot have righteousness without Torah, without the law of God, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisee. How are you going to exceed the righteousness, you know, the obedience of the Pharisee that was very meticulous about every tiny little detail? You see, well, you're going to go into the spirit of the law beyond just the letter. And He's not going to give you the spirit, as Peter said, God does not give His spirit, but only to those who obey Him. Not disobey. Not all of them ever taught disobedience to the Torah of God. Paul never taught that. To the end of his days, he said, and he was, in essence, humanly proud of it, you know, in the right way, as touching the righteousness which is in the law, he said, blameless, you see. And then he said that he still was a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee, to the end of his days. And the last time that he spoke to his people in the council there, when he came to Jerusalem before he was taken on his way to Rome. He never departed from that. And he made it very plain. As a matter of fact, that last time that he went there, the apostles confronted him because some Jews believed that he was teaching lawlessness against the Torah. So they said, well, you have to show them, you know, that you are not that kind of a person. You never spoke evil against the law. You taught it all your life to all the Gentiles. And so he went to the temple and he brought offerings and sacrifices. You see, he had done all that. He was not a hypocrite, as some theologians and their ignorance and blindness think that Paul was a hypocrite because he taught all of his life, spiritually speaking, his spiritual life against the law of God, and now he's just trying to appease in all the Jews there, you see, that are still in the old religion. And so this is what he did, and they actually call him a hypocrite for doing it. Well, they're the hypocrites, they're the blind and the ignorant, you see, and yet they think that they are the people who walk in the light. They're the ministers of the devil. And fortunately, a lot of people believe them. Thinking that Paul came and established a new religion, called, you know, they call it the Pauline theology, and he established Christianity. You see, a new religion, a Gentile religion. That's a horrible blasphemy against Paul. One of these days, they're going to be placed in line and have to answer for it, and they will be judged for it, for that wickedness that came out of their mouth, which was influenced, obviously, by unclean spirits. And so Paul made it very plain to them that God has disarmed principalities and powers, you know, demonic powers that led people into disobedience, having made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Because the only power they had over man is when they led him to sin, and therefore man would die because of that. Because the wages of sin is death. And now he neutralized that power from them by paying the penalty for men, and now for those who are going to walk in Christ, he's going to live his life in them in obedience, not disobedience. You see, and he's going to forgive them when they sin and they repent, not just when they sin, but when they repent. Now these principalities and powers, these demonic spirits, have no power over men anymore. The man that follows God, in whom God lives his life, in righteousness, not unrighteousness. And so as a consequence of that, this is what this statement is all about in verse 16. So, knowing all these things, knowing all this information that we went through now from beginning until the end, which is the word of God, that Christ said, men shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and he is the one that gave it to Israel. And he is the one that gave it to all those who were before him from the Garden of Eden, where the new moon was a part of the information there of what the stars and the moon and the sun are all about, you see. And so he said, let no one, no Gentile, that's the one he's talking about, because the Jews are not going to tell them that, you know, they have to keep the Sabbath or holy days or moon, new moon. He's talking about the Gentiles. So let no one judge you in food, clean and unclean, or in drink. You see, they ate and drank whatever they wanted in the old days. Things mixed, you know, offered to idols and things like that. And unclean food. He says, don't let them, you know, they don't have the right, the moral right, or, you know, the knowledge of the law to judge you by that. They're all lawless people. Don't let them judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival. What festival is he talking about? You see, these are not Jews, Colossians, they are Gentiles that now have been grafted into the commonwealth of Israel, and do not graft anybody into the commonwealth of Israel unless they obey the law of Israel, as Jesus Christ said to his people through Moses, one law shall be for you and the stranger that is among you. There aren't going to be any two religions here in my land, he says. You see? That's the festival he's talking about that we've been reading all along from beginning until this point. You see, the days of gladness, the Sabbath, the new moons, the feast. He said, don't let anybody, you know, those Gentiles, that's the context, judge you regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, because they were keeping all of them. So at what point did they stop doing it? You see? When the Gentiles took over the church, Shanghaied the church, the people of God, came from within. As Paul said to the Ephesians, I know that after my departure, grievous wolves shall rise among you. You see? These are the people that have done it. And so as they multiplied, they've taken over. And then they pushed aside or threw out or killed and martyred and destroyed wherever they could the genuine followers of Christ. You see? And that's what happened as time went by. And then they became known as the church, and now everybody thinks, well, whatever the church teaches, that's righteousness. They have the right to do whatever they want. They have precedence over the Bible. They have precedence over God. They can tell God what to believe, what not to believe. You see? And here it is. Christ lives his life in his people, and they tell his people to despise the law of Christ. And that would make them righteous. They have turned light into darkness and darkness into light, and they're still doing it to this very day. And so people are born every generation. What do they know? They don't know any better. And so, unfortunately, when many of them even came out of that mold, out of Babylon, just like the people of Israel, they brought it with them. Just like the Gentiles that were brought into the church now, of the living God, the Commonwealth of Israel, they brought it with them. You know, they're past their backgrounds. You know, they're mixing it with the truth. And so people are raised into a world where new moon is a strange thing. You see, the holiday to a lot of people of God is a very strange thing. You know, not many of them do keep it. Sabbath, you know, okay, now they can understand that. That's as far as they are willing to go. But holidays, well, forget about it. That's not for us. A new moon, hey, that's strange. You see, I'm not going to howl at the moon. You see, all kind of weird ideas that enter into the minds of people, and they don't know where it came from. And so that's what he's saying here. Don't let any outsider deceive you about these matters. Only God can determine these things, and you can see it from beginning until the end. And if you're going to put your hand to the plow and follow Jesus Christ, you cannot disobey his laws and commandments. You cannot disobey his law, his Torah, you see, and follow him. There's no way you can do it, you see. No hypocrites are going to be in his kingdom. And that's why an awful lot of people who have been deceived, who believed lies, who've been led by demonic spirits, who influence people to teach lies in his name. As I said, many shall come in my name, saying that I am the Christ. And they're going to teach an awful lot of things about him, a lot of good things too, a lot of moral laws, a lot of good things that they read in the Word of God. Yeah, even go, a lot of them, they may go to the prophets and to the law of God, of Moses himself, and learn some good things there and follow it. After all of them believe in the 9 commandments except the Sabbath. You see, and then few of them realize, no, you got to keep the Sabbath too, so they do that too. You see, but forget about all the other things. And so they deceive them. It says, don't follow people like that. You see, you check them up with the Word of God from beginning until the end. People are not doing it. And so they say, you know, they believe it. Well, what is the new moon for? Well, what do you need the Sabbath for? Some, you know, most of them would say, what do you need the holidays for? Even those who keep the Sabbath, many of them would say that, and so forth. And Paul makes it very plain. He's teaching here the Torah of Moses. He remembers the law of Moses because he knows anybody who doesn't is going to be destroyed by Christ himself. You see? That's what he's teaching here. That's what he's saying here. Don't let anyone judge you in food or in drink regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, which are all these things, are a shadow. In other words, they are symbolic of things to come, of prophetic events, of historic events yet to occur. They all have meanings, you see. The new moon has a meaning. You begin as a new babe in Christ with very little in you, very little light. And if you are constantly walking with the sun, you're going to be attired with the glory of the sun, you see. You're going to be like the stars in heaven, as he said, Paul, speaking about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. You're going to be like the stars in heaven, you see, and there are going to be different lights, different intensity of light, depending on your righteousness, on the way you walked with God, you see. That's how your reward is going to be. You're not all going to have the same glory, you see. Not everybody's a Moses or Abraham or John the Baptist, who was the greatest man who ever lived from the point of view of Christ, you see, and so forth. But, as God said, you know, you overcame that much, well, you get that much. You know, 2 talents, 4 talents, 100 talents, depending on how much you overcame. Based on that, your reward is going to be, based on that, you're going to shine. You see? But all that shining comes from whom? The source of it.
So the new moon, that's how you understand it. And you learn what it is all about, and it's not a strange thing. That's what he's saying here. All these things are a shadow. They're symbolic of things to come. When you're going to be fully clothed with the garments of righteousness, and so are all those people that have been taught to despise the law of God, yet have done many other good things in His name, even sacrificed their lives. Many of them, devout people. And yet all in vain, they're going to appear before Christ and say, Lord, Lord, hey, we are your people too. We are Christians. We followed you. You're our Lord. You're in our midst. We praise you all the time. We've done your things. You know, we've been healed in your name. We've cast demons in your name. We've done great works. We went all over the world spreading your word and your fame and name and all that. And he looks at them and he says, I don't even know you. Can you imagine that? To be there and hear that and realize that all of your life was wasted, was all in vain, because you've been listening to demons, unclean spirits, lies and deceptions, because when you read the Bible you despise what it says in it, because you said, you know, wow, that's Jewish, because you've been told that this is what it is. You see, as Paul said, he that thinks that he stands, take heed lest he fall, and an awful lot of people are going to fall. Many are called, only few are going to be chosen. Only few walk in the narrow road. The majority chose to walk in the broad way. You see? And that's where the majority of so-called Christians are today. That's where the majority of the people of God are today. In the broad way, facing that verdict. I don't even know you. Why? He said, because you are lawless. You are without Torah. You have rejected it. You have been taught to despise it. You have been taught that it was done away with. So why should you keep the Sabbath or holidays or the new moon? You see? That's all a part of that Jewish law. And that's exactly what the Gentiles, as they became the majority in the church, and therefore it was no longer the church of God, the real genuine followers had to go on their own, and they were called by different names. At one point they were called the Nazarenes, you know, they followed the men from Nazareth. And so now when the false church looks at them, as we read that statement before that, and there were a couple of those, and there are many others, you read in the historic accounts, what they said about the true believers, they call them the heretics at that point, as Origen says, another one that we quoted earlier, he said that all those Nazarenes, of course they don't call them the people of God, the true church of God, just call them the Nazarenes, they follow, they do everything, you see, like the Jews, and in like fashion. In everything. They never departed from the faith. From the Sabbath, and the new moons, and the holy days, and clean and unclean, and so forth. They do everything. Just like the Jews, and in like fashion. And the only exception between them, and the difference between them and the other Jews, is that they believe in Messiah, in the Christ, while the others did not. But even to the 4th century, a lot of them still continue to go to the synagogue. And as long as the Jews, you know, didn't throw them out, because, you know, they just said, well, just another sect, you know, they have many sects among us. As long as they didn't make issue of that, they remained with them, because they did exactly everything in like manner and like fashion. And they were naming some of those things, you know, the Sabbath. You see, they're still fettered with that old law, the Sabbath, and the holidays, and the circumcision, and so forth. And obviously the new moon was one of them, you see. And because of that, they said, well, they are not like us, they are not Christians. You see? Because not Christian meant, from the point of view of God, a rebel against God. But they didn't see it that way. Yet that's the way he saw it. And that's what he's going to tell them and all those who follow in their footsteps to this very day. Get out of here. For you are lawless and I don't even know you. You see? How would you like to spend all of your life in devotion to God, in vain worship, in sacrificing your life and doing so many things, thinking that you've reached the end of the road and you've been lied, you know, all kind of lies that were taught. You know, you think you're going to heaven when Christ made it very plain, nobody goes up there. Heaven comes to earth. Heaven in Jerusalem descends to earth. The Father is going to come down and dwell among His people. It's going to be all in all, you see. All these lies that people have been taught. What a futility. What a vain religion. There has never been such a vain religion as this one. That thought they were so close when they were so far. And that's what Christ is going to tell them. Get out of here. You are not my people. I don't know you. You are not clothed with my garments of righteousness. You see? You are not the moon. You see? And therefore, I'm not going to marry you. I'm going to marry the moon, the one that is attired with my righteousness. And that's the reason why the church, the true church, as you're in Revelation 12:1, the people of Israel, the commonwealth of Israel, and those grafted among them, are described as the moon. And that's the reason for the new moon. It's not just a strange thing. And people that do not study the Word of God, obviously they don't understand that. And that's where, unfortunately, a lot of people are today. A lot of things. Well, I think enough is said about the subject. As Christ would say, he that has an ear, let him hear. And again, this is Mordecai Joseph, greeting all of God's people. Until next time.